What's up, everyone? I'm Matt Fairburn alongside Joe Dreyer. We're here to talk some fantasy football with you. This is Mocking the Draft's first ever fantasy football podcast. We're going to be bringing you weekly episodes leading up to your fantasy football drafts this summer. And hopefully continuing on through the season, depending on the reception this gets in the Mocking the Draft community. Joe and I have put together multiple championship rosters as fantasy football owners. We co-own our teams, and we play against each other in some leagues. Whether that's good enough for you or not, I don't know. But we're going to give you some advice, and hopefully it's good advice. First episode here, we're going to go around the league looking at some off-season changes that have been made and how they're going to affect the fantasy football landscape this year. We're going to start off with the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo has found himself on many of our rosters, and it's a star-studded lineup in Dallas as usual this year. What do you expect from the Cowboys this year, Joe?
Well, last year Romo had some injury problems, but this year has all of his team back. Mari coming off an injury. Don't know how that will affect him, but Dez, top 15 wide receiver last year. Miles Austin, once again, injury problems. But if everyone can stay healthy, it's a high-octane offense.
Yeah, definitely. Miles Austin had his issues last year, but if Romo has both those weapons healthy, Jason Witten's getting old, but I don't see that being a huge issue. Romo has plenty of weapons. The most questionable player on that team, the most highly debated, is going to be DeMarco Murray. Had him on a few of my teams last year, and he really burst onto the scene. But I really do question whether he can be a consistent option because of his injuries. He had some injury problems in college. We both really expected Felix Jones to be huge last year, and injuries derailed him. So one of those two guys I would expect to step up. I mean, it's a high-powered offense. You're going to want to be rolling with the starting running back each week. We're going to kick it over to Washington now. Completely different team. Usually you want to pretty much ignore anybody on Washington's roster, but now they have Robert Griffin III, of course, and brought in some new weapons for him. What do you think RG3 is going to bring to the table for the Redskins this year?
I think it's going to be a very similar year to Cam Newton's rookie year. Posts some solid rushing numbers. He's a very accurate passer. Great downfield ball. They brought in Pierre Garçon for him to throw downfield too. I mean, he may not be set up with the greatest weapons, but he certainly has the ability.
Yeah, the big concern I have with RG3 is injuries. He had his issues in college, and if he's on my fantasy team, I'm going to be holding my breath every time he runs out of the pocket because guys are going to be hitting him harder than they ever have in his life, and I just wonder how he's going to transition. You mentioned Cam Newton's rookie year. It's definitely possible to think that he'll put together something close to that, but we have to remember Cam Newton had a historical year, and he's a much bigger guy than Robert Griffin III is. He's built stronger. But also, Newton didn't have as many weapons as RG3 is going to have. I would be very happy with RG3 as a quarterback number two, but picking him as a quarterback number one is a very, very risky proposition. We'll move on to the Philadelphia Eagles, who haven't had quite the offseason that they had last year, where everybody was picking them as Super Bowl favorites and calling them the dream team. But, I mean, the core is still in place there. I know Big Joe over here is always high on Shady McCoy, so give us your thoughts on this offense.
Well, Shady McCoy just got his new contract, so he should be happy going into camp. Vic, I mean, you could go either way. Injury problems, he instead of making one move and going down, he makes one move and then a second move that usually gets him injured. So it's tough to really project how much he's going to be on the field. Same with Deshaun Jackson. He keeps on getting laid out, going across the field. And to be honest, I would not feel safe with either of those two as, you know, my number one starters. But Shady McCoy, you know, no matter who's under center, I feel as though he produces in the passing game, he can produce in the running game. And as he's shown last year, he's a touchdown vulture.
Yeah, Vic and Jackson, like you say, always get injured. Jackson has not been the same since he had that concussion a few years ago. He doesn't go over the middle as much. He's kind of a one-trick pony, just goes deep. Michael Vick, I thought, might come into... He had a pretty bad year last year. I thought he would come into this fantasy football season as a value pick. I'm not convinced that's going to be the case anymore. Some early rankings have him as a top five quarterback, which is fair because he has that upside. And I would probably take him in the second or third round, but you're not going to get him for 16 games.
I don't think I'd take him in the second round. I don't think there's much value there considering all the injuries he sustained last year. But, I mean, if you can get him four, maybe five. I mean, I know that may seem like a long shot with certain people in your league, but there's just too much injury concern. There's maybe not another player in the league that has more of an injury risk than Michael Vick.
Yeah, I mean, you're guaranteed that he's not going to play all 16 games. I will guarantee it right now. And if I'm wrong, well then, who cares? You know, because then I think a lot of people will be wrong because he is always injured. And he also, some games where he's not injured, he's really just ineffective. He's still not a very good passer. We're still waiting for him to mature as a passer, which we've been waiting for like 10 years now. But
he's gotten better, especially with his deep balls. But, I mean, again, he just tries to do too much on his feet. And when he does, he gets in trouble and gets hit hard. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, McCoy is really the only guy you're looking to target there, and he's the top half of the first round kind of guy again this year. To round out the NFC East discussion, we'll talk a little bit about the defending Super Bowl champion New York Football Giants. Funny thing about the Giants is they won the Super Bowl, but they don't have many elite fantasy football options. My favorite fantasy football option on the roster is Hakeem Nicks. Guy's a touchdown machine. But I think people are going to be high on Eli Manning coming into the year, because, and deservedly so. I mean, he had a great postseason run. But let's not forget that he really is. He's an above-average fantasy football quarterback, not an elite one. He's not in the same breath as Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers. He just isn't, and he's really a second or third tier kind of guy for me.
I don't think it's a stretch to, you know, I mean, he's there, I mean, maybe middle or like fifth or sixth. Like, I don't think it's a stretch. He's at the very least the top 10 quarterback, and I'm sure he'll, when it's all said and done, he'll end up in the top eight. He does have his weapons. Good backfield when Maude Bradshaw's healthy. They just drafted David Wilson, so, I mean, the emergence of Victor Cruz. I mean, he has the weapons there to get it done.
And the key with Manning is he's consistent. You know what you're going to get. He's reliable. And, I mean he's productive every year.
He'll have his bad games where he throws five picks and one touchdown, yeah. But he'll come right back and throw three and zero. So, I mean, he'll give you, I mean, at least half the games you play him, he's going to put up very good numbers. Some games he'll struggle, but, I mean, that's what he usually does.
And, I mean, you can never predict injuries, but he's not, he's proven to not be a huge injury risk there. What do you think about the rookie running back, David Wilson, that they took in the first round?
I mean, he coming into the draft, he was a borderline first-round pick at the end of the draft. I mean, at the end of the first round. But he's a physical back, you know, north-south. Bradshaw is always injured in the last couple of years. Terrible ankles, so it's something you really have to look out for. If you're going to draft him on Bradshaw, you better be sure to handcuff David Wilson with him. Otherwise, you're probably screwed.
Yeah, Wilson is a game-breaker type of running back. A lot of people thought it was a reach at the end of the first round. I really like Wilson, but I trust, you know, the Giants front office. They usually are making smart picks at the end of the first round. A lot of people were wondering about Hakeem Nicks this a few years ago, and he's turned out okay. And like you said, Bradshaw gets injured, so Wilson's going to get some carries. We'll move on to the NFC North. What better place to start than with the Green Bay Packers? Just a fantasy football juggernaut, starting with Aaron Rodgers. You got him as a top quarterback this year?
I guess it depends on your preference. It's either, I'd give it to either him or Brady. I mean, you can't really go wrong with either. But, I mean, I would feel confident drafting him in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers, the difference, obviously, between Rodgers and Brady is that Rodgers is going to put up some rushing numbers. He's gotten injured in the past, but not a huge concern. And I mean, he really is the cream of I still think he's getting better, which is the scary part. I would take Rodgers at the end of the first without hesitation. And as far as his weapons go, yeah, he's still got Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings will get his numbers. Jeremichael Finley, he's a very overrated tight end in my opinion, but that doesn't mean that he's not a very good fantasy football tight end. He didn't have a good year last year, but he got a short deal for short money, and I think that might motivate him to kind of get his act together.
I mean, considering a lot of people have him pegged as a top three tight end last year, and he didn't really live up to those expectations, I feel like, I mean, in the later rounds, I think he's pretty much a lock to be a top 10 tight end. I know after the first, you know, two or three, it's pretty much, you know, all relatively the same. But I think it's a good value pick in the later rounds, and he could surprise you.
Yeah, and it's tough for anyone in Green Bay to really, any of Green Bay's wide receivers to really dominate the targets every week because Rodgers loves to spread the football around. But James Starks is another intriguing guy because the backfield situation has opened up for him. And depending on whether or not he could stay healthy, I mean, if you can have a running back like that who's going to get carries in a huge offense, that's definitely a guy worth considering in the mid to late rounds of your fantasy draft. We'll kick it over to the Minnesota Vikings, a pretty up in the air team in terms of fantasy football right now because Adrian Peterson is recovering from a very severe knee injury last year. For the first time in a while, he's not a lock for the top 10 in your fantasy football drafts. It's still May right now, so we don't know how he's going to be recovered heading into the season. But so that's sort of a wait and see. But a guy I've seen ranked pretty high is Percy Harvin. You think he's justified as the top 10 wide receiver?
Maybe just right outside the top 10. He misses a few games a year due to his migraine issues. And you never know what you're going to get with, you know, the second-year quarterback and Christian Ponder. He showed some flashes where he played really well last year. But he also showed some, you know, stereotypical rookie mistakes. And it's tough to really gauge as to whether Harvin's going to be that impact guy for him, or Ponder's just not going to cut it for him.
Yeah, I mean, Harvin was a top 10 guy last year, so there's reason to believe that he and Ponder will be able to grow together again. And Harvin just makes plays once he has the ball in his hands. So all Ponder has to do is get him the ball. And I think Ponder is a good bet to make a jump forward this year. But without Adrian Peterson, who knows how that offense is going to run? It's going to be interesting to see. Definitely a situation we're going to keep a close eye on for you in the preseason. And we'll bring it over to the Chicago Bears. Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall are back together again. And it's a beautiful thing when those two play together. Marshall is an impact player no matter where he goes. And Cutler quietly puts up the numbers. You like him as a value quarterback this year?
He's probably my favorite value quarterback this year. I mean, he's certainly an argument for the top and to be in the top 12. I think by season's end, you'll see him in the top 10. Considering Forte, you know, you don't know what's going on with his contract talk. You don't know if he's going to be in camp. You don't know if he's going to be there at the start of the season. And you bring in someone like Marshall, who's pretty much a lock for at least 90 receptions every year. I mean, I think it's reasonable to put Cutler in your top 10, and I'd snag him up in the middle rounds with no hesitation.
And I know Brandon Marshall has some sort of suspension potentially coming his way, but
the charges, I believe, were dropped. I don't think he's facing any charges anymore, but you never know with
Roger Goodell, the no fun league. Yeah. Brandon Marshall can't go around and, you know, have some fun out there and get in trouble. I mean, I don't know what kind of league Roger Goodell is trying to run here, but I mean, even if he's suspended for a quarter of the season, you're still getting three quarters of a season worth of Cutler to Marshall action, which is which is pretty awesome. Forte is the guy to keep an eye on there. When running backs hold out, it can be bad news, as we saw with Chris Johnson last year. Forte's a first-round pick if he gets in camp, but the more time he misses in camp, the less likely I am to take a shot at him in that range.
And you also have to consider the addition of Michael Bush vulturing TDs from Forte. I mean, Forte had roughly 50% of their offensive production last year, but when you consider the touchdowns he had, and no one was really there to take him away from him, but now you bring in Bush, who's, you know, primary use is, you know, short yardage, is a big back, and he can be used down the goal line. So, honestly, if I were you and you were looking at Forte, I might leave him out of, you know, the top half of the first round and see if he drops later.
Yeah, because he's not going to – I still think he'll be a feature back, but, I mean, feature back isn't what it used to be. So he's going to have to fend off Bush for some touches there. And to round out the NFC North, we'll go with the Detroit Lions. I am always high on Detroit Lions, but the problem is I don't know if you're going to get great value with them this year. I always loved Stafford because I could get him late, and I was always ready for him to break out. He finally did last year. Calvin Johnson is everybody's number one fantasy wide receiver, but I'm not joking you. Something bad could happen. He's on the cover of Madden, and it sounds stupid, but I might stay away from him. I mean,
it's not even a question for me. I am absolutely staying away from Calvin Johnson. I mean, I'm not a big believer in all that hoopla, but Madden curse is real, folks. Yeah,
the Madden curse is real. I mean, but at the same time, like, you could say, oh, I mean, look at last year with Peyton Hillis, but the difference with Peyton Hillis was he's just terrible. But but Calvin Johnson's a very good player. I'm really scared to take him in the first round because he's on the cover of Madden. We've been waiting forever for somebody to break that curse. And some guys have okay years, but...
You know, I'm fine with people, you know, if I, you know, saying I don't want Calvin Johnson in the first round. I'm fine with people calling me an idiot for that because, you know, over 1,600 yards and 18 or some odd touchdowns. I mean, obviously that's phenomenal production, but
in my gut, it tells me not to do it. And you're taking a risk when you take a wide receiver in the first round to begin with. Obviously, times are changing a little bit, so wide receiver in this first round is more common. And if you're going to take one, honestly, I'm probably taking Calvin Johnson. He's a monster.
Calvin Johnson may be the only one I'm taking. Consider Fitz, but, you know, you don't know what that quarterback situation. Calvin Johnson is the only real legitimate first round receiver in my eyes, but again, the Madden curse.
And Stafford is a guy, I mean, I love Stafford like no other, but I'm not sure you're going to get the best value with him. I think I reached on him in the fifth round last year in some of my leagues and it paid off. If you can get him in the fifth all day, do it. But he, you know, has always been an injury risk, and he was definitely hot and cold at times last year. So he's a great guy to have on your roster, but a lot of risky propositions in Detroit, and the backfield situation's a pretty big mess. I mean, I don't even know if I would touch anybody there. And we wrote down Ryan Broyles' name here. That's a guy to keep an eye on. If he sneaks into the starting lineup, watch him in preseason. He's a good player. We'll see how he recovers from his knee injury. He got hurt a lot in college. But he's definitely a guy who could have a decent rookie year as a wide receiver 3. Moving over to the NFC West, we start with the San Francisco 49ers. Not an exciting fantasy team when you consider the best thing to own with the Niners is the defense. You could argue Vernon Davis, but as long as Alex Smith is under center, everybody in that offense is going to be limited. They brought in Randy Moss and AJ Jenkins, but Crabtree's still there. Jim Harbaugh says he's got the best hands he's ever seen. I think Jim Harbaugh needs to, you know, watch some more games. But
I mean, as far as wide receivers go, I think Manningham has the best chance to break into your lineup. Has maybe a wide receiver 3, but even then, it's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, Alex Smith, you know, he likes to keep it in the middle of the field. He likes to keep it, you know, pretty much hand the ball off or throw to Davis. He's not going to wow you with any big throws. But, I mean, pretty much outside of Davis and Frank Gore, I'm not sure you really want anyone else on that roster. I mean, I know there's going to be people out there who, you know, will take a flyer on Randy Moss in the last round. But, I mean, at this point in his career, I think you're just kidding yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth, you know, maybe your last round pick, but I don't know. The running back situation is interesting because Kendall Hunter, you know, stole some touches from Frank Gore because he's always getting banged up. But now LaMichael James is in the picture, and he's a really good dual threat back. And if he sneaks onto the field, which I see no reason why he wouldn't, given how injury prone the guys in front of him have proven to be, I think he could be all right.
Especially, I mean, when you look at him, you see more of a Darren Sproles type back. And honestly, when you look at their backfield now, I mean, it could be modeled after, you know, New Orleans backfield, except just maybe more talented.
Yeah, but, and Alex Smith can't even reach 10 yards down the field. He'll need to dump it off to LaMichael James every chance he gets. We'll move it over to Seattle. The big thing with Seattle that I'm a fan of in terms of fantasy football is the defense this year. It's a sleeper defense. I mean, why not? I mean, you don't want to pick defenses early, so if you're taking a last-round flyer, look at the Seahawks defense. Talented group of young defensive backs who I think are going to make some plays. And they brought in Bruce Irvin. You know, call it a reach if you want, which is fine. But, you know, call it a reach and... That I'm fine with you calling it a reach. It probably was a little bit of a reach, but he could make some plays. And they're going to bring him in on situational downs, kind of like the Niners did with Aldon Smith. And he's going to collect some sacks. This defense could make some plays and be all right for you. But I like doing week-by-week defenses, but Seahawks are going to be a plug-and-play a few times this year for me, I can tell. But as far as the offense goes, I've seen Marshawn Lynch as a top-10 running back. I would beware. That's all I'm going to say about Marshawn Lynch. You know, he's shown some determination before in his career, but I don't know. He just got a new contract, did he not?
Yes, he did. And
it was he's quite a rich man now.
I think he had, well, I think it was his maybe sophomore year in the league. I think he had his like one, you know, year of solid production. And he just falls off and, you know, look. I mean, he's, what, 2 years in Seattle before this? Yeah. And, I mean, the production was pretty much non-existent. And, of course, entering a contract year, he just explodes.
Yeah, and, I would be aware of him. He's an iffy first-round pick. I'm not using my first-round pick on Marshawn Lynch. And I could regret it, but I'm not going to take the chance.
You know, he's a lock to be, you know, at worst, you know, end a second-round pick. And yeah. Just wouldn't want to take the risk, especially when you can get some high upside guys in the second round. So
exactly. And the passing offense, they bring in Matty Flynn. There wasn't as big of a market as some might have thought for Matt Flynn in free agency, and kind of the reason is I think his upside is very limited. And but he's got to be an improvement over Tavares Jackson. I mean, I think I would be an improvement over Tavares Jackson. Guy is erratic as hell. But so that's an upgrade for Sidney Rice, right? And he signed the big deal and hasn't done much to prove his worth. But he gets injured a lot. But that's definitely an upside for him. I mean,
undoubtedly has the talent. I mean, a lot of people say he took the money to go to Seattle and then, you know, production falls off, but I mean, that's, you can't blame that all on the receiver, especially when Tavares Jackson is, you know, throwing balls behind him at some points. You know, man just doesn't know what he's doing out there. You get in Matt Flynn, yeah, the upside may be limited, but I mean, you can't forget that Sidney Rice had 1,300 yard season not 2 years ago.
Yeah, but that's when you had the great Brett Favre. Sidney Rice to me is kind of maybe a low end wide receiver too, and a pretty strong wide receiver three if you can get him as that. We're going to move to the St. Louis Rams, who in my opinion are the most useless fantasy football team in the league. Sam Bradford came into the league as the number one overall pick, and I said he was not going to be very good, and he had a good rookie year, but he has fallen off. In my estimation, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year, and yeah, he was hurt, and yeah, he had no weapons to work with, and yeah, he has a terrible offensive line, But really, what has changed? I mean, they bring in Brian Quick and Chris Givens, two guys I was pretty high on in the NFL draft, but they're rookies. How much can you expect from them? And Steven Jackson isn't getting any younger. I don't see much use in this offense.
I mean, they really wanted, you know, Trent Richardson, Justin Blackmon. They didn't get either. I mean, the number two offensive option was, I guess, apparently they had A.J. Jenkins ranked very high, right behind Justin Blackmon on the wide receiver board, and they couldn't even get him, so they have to settle for Brian Quick, who's, I mean, a real speedster, very explosive, but still very, very raw.
He's raw coming out of Appalachian State. You can't really tell. I mean, he's not a huge speed guy, but he looked like it at Appalachian State, but who was he playing against, you know? And he's, like you said, going to be raw coming in. Chris Givens is really fast, and I really like his long-term potential, but coming into the season, it's going to be another new offense for Sam Bradford, and, you know, everybody's expecting Jeff Fisher to turn it around, but I'm not touching anybody.
I don't think anyone can turn that around. I mean, you could put Jeff Fisher in there. You could put in, I don't even know, you know, Bikini Man
Vince Lombardi.
You can stick Matt Millen in that front office, and I don't think it's going to change
anything. And also, if you look at it, how often do coaches that have had success in one place go somewhere else and have success? Not very often. And what it comes down to is I don't think Sam Bradford is going to be a truly elite quarterback. And you can't really go anywhere without that in today's NFL.
Especially since, I mean, Fisher was there for so long, and he had, you know, very good running backs when you think about your Eddie Georges and your CJ2Ks. But, I mean,
now Wendale White, I mean, like, just an elite option out of the
back. You know, he may have been fat, but he could.
He was a good fantasy producer for a little while.
He could poke it in there. But, I mean, and then he lands in St. Louis with, one of the best, you know, most productive running backs in the last, you know, decade, and Steven Jackson. But, I mean, he's certainly at the tail end of his career.
Another guy who's going to be picked in the first round, and it just shows how, at the top, the running backs are very risky, and if you hit on the right one, you're going to have an upper hand in your league, because a lot of these guys are going to miss. It happens every year, and I think it's going to happen more so this year. Steven Jackson will get you points, but he'll get injured, and he's going to be limited in a pretty garbage offense. And speaking of garbage offenses, kick it over to the Arizona Cardinals, who are once again rolling with Kevin Cobb and or John Skelton at quarterback, which basically decreases everybody's value a lot. But I do like Larry Fitzgerald every year. He is consistent no matter who you put in at quarterback. And, I mean, Tavares Jackson could be there, and Larry Fitzgerald would be a decent option as a wide receiver one. And they drafted Michael Floyd, which means Fitzgerald will finally have some pressure off him, which hasn't happened since, you know, Bolden left town. But we always have Fitz on our team, it seems like, and he always comes through.
I think Fitz was on my he was on my first fantasy football championship, and he's right. I mean, it's pretty much a lock for 1,400 yards and, you know, at least like 8 TDs every year. And
catches tons of passes. He is the offense.
It just frustrates you so much to see him, you know. One day he'll catch two passes, 36 yards because of, you know,
John Skelton.
You know, or Cobb. And then the next day he just explodes for 7 receptions for 150 yards and 2 TDs.
If you believe it, I had John Skelton in my starting lineup at one point last year. That's how bad things got in my 2 quarterback league. But,
and, you know, I mean, at a certain point, it got to the point where, you know, Fitz was telling the front office, like, what needed to happen.
Exactly.
I mean, they couldn't get him Peyton Manning, they couldn't get him Matt Flynn, and, you know, he wanted, you know, another wide receiver on the other side of him, and, I mean,
they finally got Michael Floyd.
There were free agent wide receivers that, I mean, they could have signed, but, you know, they did the right thing, in my opinion.
Went to the draft and got Floyd, who's going to be pretty solid for them, I think. But for my money, Larry Fitzgerald is the best wide receiver in the league, but that by no means makes him the number one fantasy wide receiver. It really is an unfortunate situation.
You know, in terms of what he can do, if he had if he had Matthew Stafford on his team, I think he'd be more productive than Calvin Johnson.
No doubt. And, I mean, both are extremely talented guys, but I was praying that Peyton Manning would go there for Fitz's sake, but it didn't happen, so he's stuck with Cobb, and it's probably going to be another so-so year in Arizona, but Fitz will get his. The NFC South, which is now wide open after Bounty Gate. Yeah, we weren't going to go the whole thing without mentioning Bounty Gate. But how could we? Sean Payton's no longer calling plays in New Orleans, and Drew Brees is not under contract. He has not signed his tender, correct?
Not yet.
And he seems pretty upset by what's going on. You could be looking at a disaster if Drew Brees decides. I don't think he'll sit out any games, but
you're already looking at a disaster, even if he plays, really. I mean, you look at Sean Payton. I mean, that passing game, Brees may be in there, throwing the passes, but it all starts with Sean Payton. And without his play calling, I'm not sure they can replicate what they've done in the past couple of years.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he is really a magician when it comes to calling plays, and he's not going to be there this year. So you're taking a risk. I think you're taking a risk on Drew Brees, honestly, where you're going to have to draft him. Somebody will probably take him in the... And Brees doesn't really need to be in camp to be successful. I mean, Brees is still going to run that offense pretty well. But he's not in the breath with Brady and Rodgers, which he would have been if Peyton was still coaching.
I don't think you're looking at any, attempts at record-breaking season this year, like the past 2 years. He still has, explosive weapons, and Colson came back, Jimmy Graham, and Darren Sproles, and,
Lost Meacham, kid.
No, I mean, Devery Henderson, Meacham, it doesn't matter. Those guys ran 40 yards downfield and caught those passes. Like, I don't think that's going to be a big deal, but...
Well, the running backs are all back. What do we make of this running back situation? Ingram had another knee scope. PT Cruiser is still there. And Sproles, a lot of people are all giddy about Sproles and what he brought to the table last year.
I mean, I'm from New England, and when Mark Ingram got drafted, and I just remember, countless people telling me how pissed they were that they passed up Mark Ingram. And, I mean,
he had knee problems in college, and here it is again. And
it's not only that, but, people expected him to come out to have, people thought he was as talented as someone coming out as, say, Adrian Peterson. I thought he could be the workhorse, and they're still running three backs.
Yeah, and
he can't stay on the field.
He can't handle the full workhorse load, and he's effective at times, but I drafted him pretty high last year, and I knew it was going to be a bad season in that first game when they had that goal line stand against Green Bay and he couldn't punch it in.
I mean, I'm fairly confident he averaged, well below, maybe not well below, but below 4 yards a carry.
They gave him chances. They gave him a lot of touches, and it was just frustrating to watch him last year. He was pretty ineffective. I don't know if it was the knee. Maybe he'll be better with a year in the league. But
you saw four backs run the ball last year, and, PT Cruiser, you had... Ingram, you had Sproles, and on occasion you had Chris Ivory.
And it might not be as frustrating this year because Peyton's not calling the plays. Maybe they'll simplify it and maybe try to consolidate it down to two backs or something, but Sproles is going to be on the field a lot, and then you're talking about Ingram and Thomas splitting time. It's not really a situation I want to get involved in. Sproles is maybe a third round guy for me, just because he brings dual threat to the table, but he's not a first or second rounder for me.
Certainly not. I'm not even sure I'd take him in the third round. I mean, again, a lot of Sproles' success comes from Sean Payton's exactly. Play calling, and, you don't know how his role in the passing game is going to be affected.
And you got to base everything on value, and these guys all have high value because of what they've done in the past. And I just don't think you're maximizing value by going after players on the New Orleans Saints who aren't going to have their head coach. But an offense that a lot of people are high on, and for good reason, is the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan continues to prove that he's pretty reliable. He'll be probably an above-average fantasy quarterback. A lot of people are expecting him to make a bit of a jump this year. He's got Julio Jones and Roddy White at his disposal, and both of those guys are probably top 10 wide receivers.
I'd definitely give the edge to Julio Jones just because of what he did in the second half of the season. Roddy White's, suffered a knee injury throughout the year, but, kept playing. But
he also drops a lot of passes.
You know, he is a little slow in the head.
Yeah, he saw his tweets a couple weeks ago talking about, you know, gas prices, saying, you know, that he wouldn't trade his job for the world, which is great. You know, he's saying the concussion thing's overrated. I'm real happy for you, Roddy. Keep speaking your mind. Last year I was pretty disappointed with him fantasy-wise, but he still had a ton of catches. If you're in a PPR league, he is a definite top 10 guy, probably a top 5 guy, the amount of catches he gets.
I don't see how you can... I mean, yeah, Julio Jones missed a few games, but he's just so explosive. I mean, some of his games he may have had like 3 receptions, but he turned that into 110 yards. I mean, he is as good as a deep threat as I think anyone in the league.
And a lot of people were, you know, questioning the Falcons for jumping way up to get him. And it's pretty, you know, it's a good thing to question there, because in terms of putting together the team, that might have been an ill-advised move. But for us fantasy football owners, I gotta love having Julio Jones with a big-time wide receiver across him and a reliable quarterback throwing the ball.
I think the only thing that holds back that passing game is setting up the passing game, because you don't know how, you know, Bernard Turner is going to come out this year. He's been the workhorse the last few years, and he struggled in the second half of the season the last couple of years because he
just has so many carries.
Wears down. But I think he's led the league in carries, you know, twice maybe, 2 or 3 times. And each time he's just worn down towards the end of the season. You can't give a guy that many carries and, you know, expect him to be effective consistently.
And that's why they're going to have to rely on the passing game. We'll see if Matt Ryan can handle it. I would love to have Matt Ryan in, say, you know, the 6th or 7th round, that type of range.
I think that's
safe quarterback 1, I think. I have no problems with that if you can't get one of the top guys.
I mean, if you have the option of getting a top guy in the 2nd round, but there's another player that's higher on your board, I mean, I think it's, you know, a safe thing. You know, take the other guy and take a safe quarterback like Matt Ryan.
You got to maximize value there, and he might not. The gap between him and a Tony Romo might not be that large.
I don't think it's large at all. I think once you get outside of, you know,
Rodgers and Brady.
Rodgers, Brady, maybe Cam Newton, depends on, you know, what kind of rushing numbers he posts again.
With the segue. We'll just segue right into the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. You think Cam Newton's in that discussion for the top 3 quarterbacks?
I would put him at number 3. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, oh, what if he has a sophomore slump? But, I mean, the man had double-digit rushing touchdowns. He was an effective passer in, you know, some of his games. He's still a little raw, but, I mean, it's to be expected going into a second year.
What you have to love about Cam Newton is he's just fearless. It's been a long time since I've seen someone who just came into the league and just had this confidence about him, and he had no problem just whipping the ball all around the field. That led to some interceptions, but he's going to learn to kind of rein it in and know, you know, when to be aggressive, when to take his shots. And like you said, even if he has a sophomore slump, he can still run. So he's going to be a very productive. He's definitely in my top 5 quarterbacks. 2nd round, you think?
I'd give him a 2nd round nod. I mean, you have to put him, I think, you know, 4 quarterbacks in the first 2 rounds that, you know, without question, it's Brady, Rodgers, Stafford, and Newton. I think with those 4, you're getting, you know, big production, you know, more than anyone else in the league. And, you know, after that, there's, you know, a drop-off where, you know, the next, you know, 5 quarterbacks will all relatively have the same kind of production, in my opinion. But I think Newton, I mean, if you can get him in the 2nd round and, you know, he's the best guy on your board, then I don't see why you shouldn't pull the trigger.
I think he's definitely, it seems weird to say, but I would feel safer with Cam Newton than I would Drew Brees, and definitely safer than Michael Vick. So, absolutely. And those are the other guys in the discussion for that top 5.
Absolutely.
So we'll move on to a much less exciting offense than Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Josh Freeman has himself a new toy. Vincent Jackson is no longer whining about his contract because he got a ton of money this offseason. Josh Freeman has never been a guy that I've expected too much out of, and I still don't expect much.
I don't see him breaking into maybe the top 12, but I think he is a very serviceable QB2. If you get in trouble with a QB, you know, I think I don't think it's out of the question, you know, with the addition of Jackson, you get Doug Martin to come in there to help out LeGarrette Blount because he just doesn't understand the offense or English.
Know. Yeah, I don't know what it is. He's a pretty stupid guy.
But, you know, you get him in two more offensive weapons. Mike Williams had a down year, but I expect him, you know, at least bounce back somewhat. I think he can revert back to the year before last. And, you know, maybe not the same sort of TD to interception ratio, but I think he can be very serviceable. I think he can get you, you know, I can predict, you know, 24 touchdown, maybe like 12 interceptions.
Freeman was another guy like Sam Bradford, who last year was quietly horrendously bad at the quarterback position. And I just don't see a ton of upside. I think he's kind of just treading water at this point, which makes me not really want Vincent Jackson either because of his name. He's going to be probably taken in, I imagine, probably the first three or four rounds, and I'm not really a fan of that. And, Josh Freeman.
The thing is that Bucs offense, you know, relied so much on, you know, the running game 2 years ago. LeGarrette Blount came out of nowhere, you know, averaged, you know, in his last, I think, like six games, I think he had, like, averaged, like, 100 yards. But, I mean, that production was absolutely nowhere to be seen last year. So you bring in Doug Martin.
Well, I like Doug Martin. Give me him as a running back two, running back three, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, you bring in Doug Martin, you at least, I mean, I think he'll turn into more of the workhorse because, you know, he can catch, run, and I'm sure he'll learn the systems where he can pass protect because LeGarrette Blount cannot do.
Well, you better hope he can pass protect because that's obviously a big concern with rookie running backs, and if he can't do it, he's not going to be on the field. So,
as LeGarrette Blount stopped being on the field because he couldn't pass protect.
And Blount is a guy who, I mean, we've owned him before, but, man, he is slow, dude. Like, he's a good player, and you know, but he can't be the only guy because he's slow.
He's slow, but I mean, phenomenal quads, man. Yeah. Can leap through the building.
And the guy has a great sucker punch, I have to say. Okay. Never going to let him live that one down. I wonder how him and Doug Martin out of Boise State are going to get along after that.
Can only hope there's some nice locker room tussle we'll be hearing about this summer.
All right, that wraps up our breakdown of the offseason that was in the NFC. We will get to the AFC in the next episode because God knows you guys probably didn't make it through the 40 minutes here. But if you guys have suggestions for what we should talk about, questions, anything, you can drop them in the comments. Email me, MatthewFairburn@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at MatthewFairburn. Any questions, suggestion for topics, we are open to it. We want to make this something you guys want to listen to. Also, we are trying to come up with a name, a creative name for this podcast. So drop that in the comments as well. We'll have a little contest. We'll pick the best name, and there will be some sort of prize. Maybe we'll have you guys on as a guest speaker or something of that nature. But thanks a lot for listening, and we'll break down the AFC for you in the next episode. Peace.
Later.